This is KCUR 89.3. Much of Kansas City's economic development over the past few decades is thanks in part to tax breaks given to developers by the city. But as KCUR's Lisa Rodriguez reports, developers may have a tougher time getting those breaks under bills that are currently making their way through the Missouri legislature.
Tax increment financing, or TIF, has been used to finance projects like the Power and Light District and the Crossroads Arts District, which helped revitalize Kansas City's downtown, and more recently, the massive Cerner development in South Kansas City. TIF is designed to lure developers to blighted areas of a city by allowing them to capture property and sales taxes to pay for development costs. But Republican Representative Dan Stacey of Blue Springs is sponsoring a bill that would change that. He fears TIF is being abused.
The biggest concern is that many connected developers pursue this type scheme without much evaluation, whether it's for the intended stated purpose of a TIF, which is to help particular blighted areas.
This came to a head in 2015 when the Kansas City Council approved a $5.2 million TIF to turn a vacant warehouse in the Crossroads Arts District into a new headquarters for architecture firm BNIM. The decision provoked heated backlash from opponents who claimed the area wasn't really blighted and that TIF diverted too much money from schools. They filed a petition to put the project to a public vote, but the ensuing delay led BNIM to back out of the project. Terry Ward, a Park University professor who's studied tax incentives extensively, says the city was within its right to grant the TIF because the state's definition of blight is so broad.
While it was put in the statute to limit the application, the use of blight is such that it is now a toothless restriction.
Stacey's bill narrows the definition of blight for TIFs. It also requires any TIF proposal to publicly release details of the plan before it gets approval. And it addresses another major concern.
One thing that I think that is, at some levels, unfair is when one taxing authority lays claim to another taxing authority's revenue stream without that second group being able to weigh in and decide whether they want to participate or not.
What he's saying is that by not collecting property taxes from a new construction, other entities, like schools, lose out on revenue. Ward, the Park University professor, also serves on the school board for North Kansas City Schools. He says, by his calculations, Kansas City Public Schools lose out on more than $30 million a year due to these deals. And Ward says TIF-financed projects tax schools in another way. If a project is successful, it spurs more development, which frequently increases the population.
Which increases the demand on schools with no money to fund it with. And so it puts an increasing burden on schools.
Under Stacey's bill, a school district could vote to have only half of their portion of taxes diverted rather than all of it. KCPS declined to comment for this story because the legislation is still pending. While the reforms have gotten bipartisan support from a House committee, not everyone is on board. Missouri's two biggest cities and two biggest TIF users, Kansas City and St. Louis, both oppose the legislation. Kathleen Flournoy with the Economic Development Corporation of Kansas City worries the school opt-out option would create too much uncertainty for developers. And she says the city already involves schools and other entities in the process.
We believe that Kansas City's managing of the program is the gold standard in the sense that we're bringing people to the table to negotiate from the get-go.
Under Kansas City's rules, developers have to reach out to schools and other stakeholders about the project's impact. And schools have two seats on the 11-member TIF commission, which reviews such projects. But the majority of the commission is controlled by the city, which can add or remove commissioners at will. Flournoy says TIF projects have had a positive effect all over the city.
North of the river, for example, has grown leaps and bounds as a result of the Shoal Creek TIF and the KCI TIF. That funded roads and infrastructure and bridge construction and has brought in, thousands of homeowners.
Representative Dan Stacey is hopeful his bill to limit TIFs will pass this session. It's currently pending approval from the Rules Committee before it heads to the floor for debate, where he expects bipartisan support. But time is of the essence. The session ends in a little over a month. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Lisa Rodriguez.